Our guest today on the Sports is a Job podcast is the sports biz obsessed athletics business analyst for the University of Virginia. Our guest graduated from UMass in 2019 with his MBA. His experiences aside from his current position formerly include being the director of women's basketball operations for Mercer University. He was also a development and operations intern for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame and a Minutemen Club graduate assistant for the University of Massachusetts Amherst. During this pandemic, he's also known for his take on networking events where he has been hosting Sports Biz Zoom trivia events. This episode's special guest is Joel Kirkendall.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me on, Colby. Good job on the last name there. So currently I'm a business analyst at the University of Virginia for their athletic department. I often joke sometimes I think my title seems more fancy than the work I actually do, but we're somewhat of a small business office, especially at the Power 5 level, office of four people. So our office does everything from accounts payable to accounts receivable to helping teams with their budgeting, debt service, future planning, that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, I don't have my hands in all of that, but I personally do a lot of our accounts receivable, accounts payable. And then we're trying to introduce a little like business analytics to our department, and I'm kind of spearheading that. I wouldn't say I'm an expert or pro at it by any means, but visualizations and just running some reports to see how we can turn business inefficiencies in our athletic department into business efficiencies in our athletic department.
So is it kind of like the whole, like using numbers, like a money ball approach where you're using numbers to make the best decision type of deal?
Yeah. And obviously college athletics is a little different when we're kind of the nonprofit model, but I would say from the analytics side, I do more visualizations in terms of creating dashboards. COVID's kind of put a pause on my work on the dashboard side, but creating dashboards for our staff just to kind of see where our standing is on certain parameters we have. So one of the parameters projects and dashboards I'm working on is grant and aid. So obviously that's just the fancy way of saying scholarship. So grant and aid, and then our postseason spending as well. So we use a program called ClickSense. Most people know or use Tableau, and that's what I was trained on, Tableau, but we use ClickSense. So yeah, that's kind of the one of the cool things we do. And I'm hoping to see a lot more of that in college athletics and sports in general, is the visualization and business analytics side of things in the business office, because I think that's kind of not always been the case as far as college athletic business offices go, but hopefully we can get more of that in there to create better informed decisions.
So it's not something that many college athletic departments are doing right now, because to be totally honest, like when I was looking at your actual position title, like you were saying, it's a fancy title, but I was like, I've actually never heard of this position at other universities. So you're saying like your department, what you guys are trying to do and you're doing a little bit of now, not many college athletic departments are doing that?
I would say some are. It's not something I've researched or looked into, but just in my experience working at other schools, there's some really good business offices, but historically it's been a department that kind of looks back and reconciles to make sure we got all the money that we were told we were going to get, make sure we paid all the bills we're going to pay. And we still do that. Our office still does that. But now there's kind of this forward thinking approach to how can we be better spenders. You know, at the end of the day, we're stewards of, especially at University of Virginia, we're stewards of public dollars. And so how can we steward these dollars well and do so in a way that is right and ethical, but also getting the most out of them too, like optimally, how can we get the most bang for our buck, if you will. And hopefully we can, we're slow on that track. We're in terms of the analytics side, we're slow on introducing that. But I would say the fact that we're starting to introduce it is pretty cool and pretty hopefully something that the industry across the board begins to do. And I'm sure there's been a lot of, and I know there's been a lot of analytics, you know, in ticket offices and stuff, but specifically on business office side in terms of where money's being spent, why money's being spent. I definitely think, again, I don't research back it up, but I think that is definitely a newer type approach that business offices are using.
Now, how did you get into this like actual position? Because it seems like you're super interested into it. And like looking back at your kind of your experience, you did internships when it came to basketball operations, you're a development operations intern, but it seems like you're big into analysis, you're big into numbers, you're big into the business side. Was this something that you always thought you would be doing?
It's funny you asked that question. I would have I never would have thought that I would have ended up one in a business office. And I wasn't really trying to get in college athletics, but I ended up in a business office in college athletics, and I love it a lot. Kind of flashback. I did grad school at University of Massachusetts, UMass, go Minutemen, and graduated in 2019. And I was kind of the finalist for some other jobs and internships. And I wasn't, you know, some of my classmates were like, I want to work in college athletics, all in for that. Some were like, I'm all in for working in baseball. I was kind of like, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, but I want to work in sports and do so in a business capacity. So I was kind of exploring many different areas. But for the jobs that I was looking at in college, I had a pretty particular, I didn't necessarily have a list of like, here's 10 schools, but I had a pretty particular kind of idea of the school I wanted, and University of Virginia fit that bill in terms of the prestige of the university, success of the athletic department, being a Power Five. So I know benefits and all that stuff would be sustainable. And also, I'm originally from Virginia. I grew up in Massachusetts, but I was born about 35 minutes away from Charlottesville, and my grandparents and uncle still live here. And at the time, my sister lived in Richmond, which was an hour away, and she had a newborn. So I was like, wow, Charlottesville, University of Virginia, like all this adds up. And it's a business office job, which again, I didn't necessarily anticipate myself going this kind of finance accounting route. But what I did in grad school is I got my master's in sport management and MBA. And so that MBA, I think, is completely what made me feel prepared for this job. And kind of the reason I give that timeline too is I think I applied for this job like April 30th or something of 2019. And graduation was like May 10th, I want to say. And so this, it was kind of last minute. I had, at the time, I had an internship lined up already, so I was fine. And I was still a finalist for some other jobs, but I applied for it because I was like, dang, UVA, that's pretty sweet school, close to family, and I'm pretty qualified in terms of what they're asking for. Let's give it a shot and see what happens. Interview process, blah, blah, blah. Here we are, end of July 2019, I started. And I would definitely say having the MBA really helped me get the job, both in just having the degree on my resume, but also the knowledge for it. In our office, three of the four people have their MBAs, so I think that's something that they care about. If my boss ends up listening to this, maybe she'll agree or disagree with that concept. But the other thing that I would say too is, again, going to grad school, I got the dual degree, but the emphasis was definitely on the sports side. Mm-hmm. And I think we had 11 classmates, I think 12. And I'd say pretty much all of them used primarily their sport degree and then used the MBA to apply theory. And I'm the opposite. Like in my day-to-day, I use my MBA, both concepts, program strategies. I use my MBA more in my day-to-day work, but having the theory of sport in the back of my head through my sport management degree helps big time. You know, like tons of people have their MBAs, but not everyone has experience working in sports. And so being able to apply the theory of sport, both in my experience and my master's in sport management, helps me do my day-to-day, which encompasses more of my MBA, I would say.
So, I mean, okay. So that's a big thing to talk about as far as when someone graduates from the undergraduate, and you majored in sport management, right? You got your undergraduate degree in sport management, correct?
That's correct. So
you got that degree. Now, if you had to make the hard choice and you had to either get just the MBA or just your master's in sport management, which route would you have gone and why?
Easy question, MBA. And specific to my situation, I get the grad school question a lot when I'm talking to people. Because I had my undergrad in sport management, I wanted the MBA. And then I just got super lucky. I wasn't too understanding of the sport management grad school space until I kind of sat down and started looking at schools. But I was actually looking at MBA schools and then realized, oh, there's a handful of schools that you can get both, you know, UMass in Ohio, UCF, USF. Those are kind of the big ones that people know. And there's plenty of other schools you can do that. Those are just kind of the ones that most people know. And being originally from Massachusetts, my parents have moved a lot, but at the time they were living in Massachusetts, so I could kind of play the in-state card as well. And so I definitely went to UMass to get my MBA. And then at was like, well, I might as well do the dual degree program for one of the top sport management programs in the country at the same time. And I always say too, like, again, when I get this question all the time, it worked out for me. It was best decision I ever made going to UMass. I worked a year full-time out of undergrad before going back to grad school. And I knew I wanted to work after undergrad and then go back to grad school. I thought maybe it'd be more than a year, but after a year working full-time, the timing is right to go back to grad school. But I say all that and that everyone's situation is different. If you feel like going to grad school right at undergrad is best for you, do it. If you feel like getting a sport management master's and having a sport management undergrad, do it, right? Like everyone's situation is different. There's no right answer. And what I did worked for me, and what you do might work for you, it might not work, but there's different reasons why people do different things, especially if it's like some people go to grad school because they're really kind of going for the grad assistantship and the degree is kind of the secondary thing, which isn't a bad thing, right? You're going to get that work experience and the degree is just an added bonus, but you're going to be an assistantship or entry-level employee. So I think pick your one thing. You've heard like the hedgehog concept, obviously, right? Like the book, Good to Great, pick your hedgehog. And so for me, the hedgehog was MBA. And so I based my grad school search on MBA, and then the sport thing kind of came on top of that. So if your hedgehog for you is getting a grad assistantship, then find the job and then figure out the degree after.
That's the cool thing about the sports industry. I feel like that, like when you look at the landscape, like obviously nowadays you have a lot more people that have a made like a undergraduate in sport management, but you still see like history majors, it's people with MBAs, you see people with political science, you see like random degrees still work in the sports industry. So that's the one cool thing about this space is that, like you were saying, everybody's journey is different. It really is. Like there's no set path as far as how you're supposed to attain your goals, how you're supposed to get a job. It just depends on who you are. Like what is your preferences, you know, what works best for you. And that is interesting because that's kind of, you know, my situation as far I, once I graduated from undergraduate, I went straight to working full time and I did, I'm doing online graduate school and that's what worked for me best. And I couldn't imagine leaving, like I thought about it, leaving my full-time job and going back to being a full-time graduate student. And I just know personally for me, that wasn't working out. But the one thing that you did say earlier, you said something about how, you know, everybody kind of knew, your classmates knew what areas of sports they wanted to work in. And you said, I don't really know. Like, you know, and that's interesting because I guess not many people are open about that, right? Like when someone asks you like, hey, what areas of sports, usually they have three quick answers, but sometimes really in the reality of it, they don't know what they want to do. Did you ever feel that pressure, I guess, when you're about to graduate, like you were talking about, you applied to this job that you have very last minute. But like, did you feel that pressure towards the end of like, I really don't know what to do and I'm about to graduate?
Yeah, there's some pressure, mainly because in grad school, undergrad's a little different, but most people in grad school, like they're going to grad school again for a specific reason. And I think you even commented on it. Like, I'm fascinated by the sports business industry and how it operates and how it comes together. And I knew I wanted to work in sports and I definitely had some ideas. It wasn't like, oh, I'll work anywhere, but I had some kind of general ideas of what I wanted to do. But I definitely had some moments, especially in class when, you know, first day of class, professor, introduce yourself. What kind of sport you want to go in? And my buddy Brandon over here is like, I want to be a college AD someday. My buddy Kyle over here, I want to be a general manager in baseball someday. Friend Candace, I want to work in sport nonprofits, right? Like they had these defined answers. And I was just kind of like, I like working in sports and I want to pursue a career in that. And I'll just see where the good Lord takes me. And I had an interest in working for the Olympics too. One, I think the Olympics movement is incredible. And also living in Colorado is one of my favorite states. So actually the internship I referenced was, I'd actually started an internship with the Olympics post-grad. And then this whole UVA thing came to be. That would take forever to explain how all the timing of all that. So Olympics was something on my radar, but I would say like Virginia was also on my radar too. Like Virginia and Colorado were kind of two of the states. So it was kind of crazy how that worked out. And then, yeah, it's hard to turn down a full-time job. Even if I was working in Colorado where I wanted to be at the time, but I love Virginia just as much. Charlottesville, great town. Highly recommend it. This is my pitch for everyone to come visit Charlottesville. I'll take you out. We'll go for a nice hike and have a good beer after, plenty of that around.
Oh, there's good hiking spots out there?
Oh yeah. It honestly reminds me a lot. Sometimes it reminds me of Colorado too.
Really?
Yeah, we're right in the Shenandoah Mountains. So Shenandoah National Park isn't too far from here. Some of the top hiking, Appalachian Trail is a couple minutes away. Incredible hiking and mountain views and trails and all that stuff. Very fit outdoorsy community. Absolutely.
I'm originally from Hawaii, so I do love the outdoors, but then I'm in Crookston, Minnesota. And for all the Minnesota people that are probably going to listen to this, they'll probably hate it, but it's flat out here. There's no mountains, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
The lakes are beautiful, though.
The lakes are beautiful. The lakes are definitely beautiful, but then again, when you're spoiled your whole life with the beach of, you know, the Hawaii beaches, true. It's like, and they
the
call
heat too.
They call the lakes here beaches. Like they refer to beaches. I was like, and they were like, oh, the sand on the beach. I was like, you mean just like glorified dirt. So for all the people that's listening to this that are from Minnesota, I apologize. I do love it here, but outside of the lakes and being flat, I wish we had more mountains so we could do a little more hiking out here.
I'm team Minnesota. I'm a big I actually sit on the board of a nonprofit, and they're headquartered in Minnesota, so I end up flying to Minnesota once or twice a year to deal with meetings for that. And so I always say I'm a big fan of Minnesota, and I tell people that, but then I always got to remember that rarely are our meetings in December or January or February. They're always in September or August or Final Four, and go Hoos, baby. UVA won Final Four in Minneapolis in April. So I got to remember that I'm not there in the heat of it when y'all are negative 40 and Crookston's even further north than Minneapolis, right?
So we're like 30. So Grand Forks, North Dakota is like the coldest city in America. Like it gets as cold as like Antarctica is, and we're 30 minutes away. So that's kind of like this past winter, we probably would got like negative 30, negative 40. And it's just ridiculous. Like, you don't even think it can get that cold. And there's like literally when you get text messages that says, please don't go outside. Like that's how you know, like it's absolutely terrible. Like never would I ever imagine I'd be getting texts from the government saying, hey, it's too cold outside. Don't go outside. Like, what is that?
We grew up in Massachusetts, but we didn't. I know Minnesota can be a lot worse. I think we definitely, if I remember, like fourth grade, we had one, not a snow day, a cold day. But, it doesn't. Massachusetts cold, I think, is a little different than Minnesota cold.
Did you, when you were in Minneapolis, did you try the Juicy Lucy?
I did try Juicy Lucy.
What's your honest opinion on that?
As a self-proclaimed foodie as well, I was a big fan. I've got to kind of remember, I had it once. There was something that I wish they could fix that. And I can't remember what it was, but I was a big fan. I forget where we had it, what restaurant it was at, but I did have the Juicy Lucy.
Did you go to the, you were there, you were here during, were you here where during the state fair and stuff? Have you been to the state fair at all?
So actually, yeah, this was like 10 years ago when my family vacationed, and it happened to be the state fair, but we vacationed in Minneapolis in the middle of summer. I actually have been to the state fair there too, but that unrelated to getting this Juicy Lucy. I was actually there for board meetings for this nonprofit, and we had our director took us, I can't remember the name of the restaurant, took us to get a Juicy Lucy, and I was a fan of it. It's a pretty cool concept.
It is. It's so interesting because you think like it's not as complicating as it is. I mean, it's just cheese and in the middle of patties that like other people, I honestly haven't had it until I got here. And I've never heard of it, like that concept. Like I haven't seen it. I thought it was good. Like I had it was like a chorizo mixed with beef patty with like pepper jack cheese. So it wasn't like the traditional one. I don't really like the traditional, like a traditional cheeseburger, traditional Juicy Lucy, but it was so good. But getting back, we're kind of getting off topic with the food here.
No, food's my other second passion. If I'm not working in sports, I'm working in food. So we could go down that path. Whenever you want.
So how has the adjustment for you been working from home? Because I imagine you've been working from home. What has your days been looking like working?
Yeah, we've been working from home since Friday the 13th, March 13th. Mm. It's been interesting. It's one thing about being in a business office is we definitely do more computer work, I would say, than other departments. So we've been able to do everything we needed to do through our computers. I've actually kind of enjoyed it. It's been fine. I also live like 2 minutes from the office, so it's been easy. If I needed to run in for something, I kind of like the flexibility of working from home. As I say, the one thing I like that I think makes me almost more productive working from home is when I need like a brain break, I take productive breaks versus just like walking down the hall and going to the bathroom in the office or going to fill up my water. Like that's kind of a dead time. Whereas I think a productive break here is quickly organizing something in your room or writing a quick letter to someone. You know, like I think because you have access to more stuff, whether for some people it could be throwing in a load of laundry, whatever it is, like the 1 minute, 2 minute house chores that you don't get done. Like those are productive breaks and it just makes you feel better about your day. And then you're more productive both in work and at home. And my roommate and I, he's an awesome, awesome guy. He's a basketball coach, men's basketball coach for UBA. And so obviously being on the coaching staff, he's in and out of the house with games and practices. So what's been really cool about work from home is that we've been able to connect more and kind of get more one-on-one time and just grow with each other. And his brother, was who I'm also close with, was here for the first 3 months of quarantine, or work from home, I should say. And so we just had a really good time. I've had a great experience. I think I probably would have gone crazy if I didn't have a roommate, just being all the alone time. But yeah, it's been great. I've been cool with it. And my boss has been exceptional in terms of expectations and understandings and making sure we have what we need. We do twice a week department calls. And now that we have some athletes back on campus, and some people, a couple people back in the office, I'm still work from home. All our buildings are kind of on lockdown, so we have to do temperature checks, and they're taking volunteers to do that. So I take one or two shifts a week that at least gets me out of the house, and seeing our athletes and seeing our administrators and coworkers as well. Because I would say I've loved working from home, but I miss my like coworkers. I miss seeing my coworkers on a day-to-day basis.
I think that is the big thing. I think it's that in-person working with people,
for sure.
That interaction is like. It is interesting because like during when I'm taking break from my work, I get to wash the dishes, you know,
sometimes a productive break.
Like sometimes in the morning you're rushing and end up leaving the dishes and not washing it till later at night. But now it's like, well, I can make dirty dishes and do it during my break time. And it does make you feel extra good. Cause like you were saying, productive, you're actually doing things that are productive now.
And your brain's still kind of working cause you're doing something productive. So you're not like completely shutting it off and having to turn it back on when you get back to your workstation or desk or whatever, but
it integrates very smoothly. I feel like when you're working from home. So I definitely do relate on that. Now during this time, I see you promoted a lot, which is the virtual sports networking trivia night.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I've always been a trivia fiend myself, just fascinated with trivia and learning new facts. I kind of joke, we probably gave my dad a hard time as a kid, but he was always like, what one new fact did you learn today? And so kind of relaying off that, just trying to learn new stuff as much as I can. And so kind of the beginning of COVID, with some family friends, I was just like, you know what? Actually, let's rewind a little bit. When I was in grad school, me and another classmate had put together trivia as like a social outing for our cohorts. We hosted this trivia and I loved it. I loved hosting trivia. I loved going to trivia nights. And so the beginning of COVID, I was like kind of bored out of my mind. Like, what can I do? So with some family friends, I had hosted two Zoom trivia nights with just like sharing screen, and I can get into my whole process, but probably bore people. And it actually worked really well. The process of doing virtual trivia, the only thing is you can't really police cheaters, but hopefully most people are honest and all that stuff. But my process worked really well. And I was like, one, I think people are missing human interaction during COVID. Two, people are missing like fun interaction. And three, like it's really hard to like network during COVID, because so much networking is that in-person one-on-one connection. So I had this idea. I was like, what if we did a networking trivia night? Because if you just had a bunch of people sign up, then they could play trivia. And by signing up, the breakout room aspect of Zoom makes this perfect. So randomly assigning 3 to 4 people to a breakout room, and then there's 3 new connections right away, right? I think it's all these other networking calls are great. They're important. It's awesome. But when you have 400 people to 50 people on a call, it's hard to kind of make that one-on-one connection virtually. But if you have trivia teams that are in breakout rooms one-on-one and you give them extra time to answer their questions, they can interact. And that's 3 new connections they have right away. So I was like, this is a great idea. I thought it was a great idea to kind of combine those things and have a little fun with it too. Because I think most people like playing trivia, especially in the sports industry, sports and trivia just go hand in hand together with like the statistics nature of it. And so I threw together a virtual actual networking sports trivia night. It went really well, very, very well. Lower numbers than I'd hoped for, but with any good business or any good thing you start, it takes some time and some word of mouth to get it going. So hopefully you're going to do a couple more in the near future, but it went super smooth the first time. I think some people made some great connections, and that's what it's all about, right? Finding ways to be adapt during COVID and do so in a fun way. And that was kind of the motivation. And actually my program director for UMass called me right after. He didn't play, but he called me right after. He's like, oh, I saw you doing that trivia. And so tomorrow night I'm hosting a networking trivia for this year's cohort, because UMass is all online this semester, so they're missing out on in-person stuff. So I'm doing another kind of networking trivia night tomorrow for current UMass students. And hopefully there'll be more to come, both formally in terms of me putting one together, or informally if people want me to host one for their company or whatever as well. I finally got the system figured out.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool to see. Like, that's something that we're thinking about doing, like a trivia night for, so part of my full-time job, I do intramurals at their school. So we're, you know, everything's a lot more virtual, but we're thinking about how can we do that. But it's interesting because you took two of your passions and then you put it together, especially during a time like this. And I've been on a bunch of Zoom networking calls, and I can definitely tell you, like, when you're there with 500 other people or however many people, you don't really get to interact with people, you know, and it's kind of intimidating because you're with like this large group of people, right? And you're like, does anybody have something to say? And you're supposed to, you know, virtually raise your hand and say, no, let me say something. So I'm a fan of the breakout rooms. Like, I've been into some networking events where they break out into 3-4 and you're able to have a deeper conversation or make a deeper connection, a personal connection, exchange contact information. And then to add trivia to it, I mean, it just makes the mood, it makes the environment, just makes mood's things a little more fun.
Kind of like brings the professional barrier down, which is what I want. I don't want people to be nervous or kind of intimidated by networking. And so hopefully like the fun nature of trivia and me bringing energy to it kind of brings that barrier of professionalism down, so people don't feel intimidated with making new connections.
So will there be, do you have any more planned for in the future?
I don't have any dates yet, but I will for sure put one together. And hopefully I think it'd be sweet to have up to 100 people. And if we keep doing them, then you get new people every time. And it's, you know, friendly competition at the same time too, which just adds a little spark and fun to it. So I'm definitely going to plan on doing another one. Especially we'll see how tomorrow goes with my UMass people. And maybe this will become a thing. Who knows? Joe's Virtual Whiz Quiz. That's what I've named it. Joe's Virtual Whiz Quiz. There
you
go.
That's a catchy name. You always got to have a catchy name. If there's if there's no catchy name to it nowadays, people are like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
The last question I have for you to wrap this up is, what would your advice be to the undergraduate student or the grad student on basically how they prepare themselves to get that job and the opportunity after they graduate?
Yeah, and I might kind of go with an unorthodox answer, but one of the things that I'm really, I don't know if passion is the right word, but I really try to implement in my day-to-day working, and I think it just really changes your perspective on sport and working in sport, especially the business of sport, is reminding ourselves at the end of the day that the essence and nature of sport is play, right? We all got introduced to sport back when we were probably even before we were one, but mainly in our developmental years at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, with this concept of play, free play to be specific. And sports are great, competition's great, winning's awesome, losing sucks. But I think especially in the business of sports, where we're at all levels, we're trying to make money because we need money to make the product go. We need money to make the product better. Reminding ourselves that the root of, even at the highest level, an Olympic event, NBA finals, right? The highest level, the essence of that sport and how we all got introduced to it was via play. And so reminding ourselves that, I think, just will change perspective and hopefully inform better decision-making as people realize better decision-making in terms of ethics, morals, but also like fan experience. People get introduced to sports through play at a young age. And I'm going to say play as many times as I can to hammer it home. But I think just keeping play in the back of your head as you pursue the industry, one, helps, I think it will help prevent burnout. because you're reminding yourself why you're doing it. And it's because it was your first love when you were 2, 3, 4 years old. But like I said, I think the biggest thing is making better informed decision making. I think I said that backwards, making better informed decisions, about how we do business in the sports industry. It's hard to go a week now without hearing some scandal at the international, the pro, or the collegiate level, both on the competition and the business side. Like, I think this goes for coaches too, like on the competition and business side. But if we can just keep in mind that the essence and root of sport is in play and free play, I think we can drastically change the perception of sports and sports business, and drastically change how we approach our everyday work. And at the same time, working in sports is a grind. And so understanding that no task is too small, that phrase, I was a men's basketball manager in my undergrad at James Madison University, and Mike Dean, he's a legendary coach. He took 4 different teams to the NCAA tournament, was head coach at Siena when they upset Stanford. He was an assistant for our team. And I remember one time he just said, Marv was my nickname for the basketball team. He said, Marv, no task is too small. And I fully believe that, right? No task is too small. And I think understanding that and putting that into practice is huge in terms of making it in this industry. And I always remind myself, never underestimate the major impact that a minor action can have. Like, it's so cool if you can somehow, you might do something very remedial in the office one day, but then if you're watching that event and you're like, this event wouldn't have happened if I had to do that one little thing, it just puts everything in perspective. And that kind of goes along the lines of servant leadership too. And as a man of faith, like, the word servant, depends on what version of the Bible you're reading, but the word servant shows up 934 times, but the word leader only shows up 85 times. Now, being a leader is great, but I think servant leadership is that next step. And that's almost 11 times more that the word servant shows up than leader. So I think if we, again, have a more servant-minded leadership style versus just leadership, and that means different things to different people, a lot more can come out of the industry. So that was a very long-winded answer, and probably it wasn't like, I mean, I still think volunteering and all that stuff's great. Mm-hmm. I could go on a rant about that, but understanding the concept of free play and that no task is too small, and servant leadership. Servant shows up 11 times more in the Bible than leader. I think we could all be better for it in this industry.
I mean, that is definitely not something you hear from a lot of people. Like you were saying, this is advice, like, that advice is not common. I haven't heard that from anybody, really, to be honest. The last thing is, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you on the social media platforms?
Yep. LinkedIn, Joe Kirkendall. I'll spell the last name. Let's see if I can spell it. I don't even know if I can still spell my last name. It's not going to sound spelled anyway. It sounds, but KUYKENDALL. I'm on Twitter. I'm on the gram. Joe_Kirk. So Joe_KUYK JOE_KUYK are both platforms. I love meeting new people in the industry. Love hearing from people and learning from people. You'll probably notice my follower count is almost double my following account because I just, my following account is almost double my follower account because I just love following people and seeing what they're talking about, seeing what they're discussing, and learning from other people. I mean, that's how we learn, is from other people and tricks of the trade and best practices, right? All those buzzwords, but it's true. That's how we learn. I think there's many things that I've seen on Twitter that I'm like, oh, we should maybe implement that in our office, or that's a different way of thinking about something like that. So.
You have been listening to the Sports is a Job podcast. And as always, I have to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope every single episode were able to provide you value and help you navigate your own sports industry career. And if you're listening to this on the Apple Podcast platform, please leave us a rating and a review. Outside of that, I would appreciate if you share it with anybody else you think might enjoy our podcast. And if you're not aware of it, we do have a bunch of other podcasts under the Sports is a Job podcast network. It is the Outnumber podcast with Kelly and Hollis, and also the Rookie Contract. Both of these podcasts, again, are focused on helping you navigate your sports industry career, but also provide you insight onto what the sports industry is truly like. And until next time, you can find all of our content at the home of the aspiring and current sports industry professional at sportsisajob.com. And until next time, like I always say, we are all on our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.